Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Pat Weber, let me tell you a little bit about her. Pat is the president of Professional Strategies Incorporated. She has developed and presented and facilitated workshops and speaking engagements for many, many thousands of adults. She applies her expertise and experience in customer satisfaction sales and self-management skills for business, industry, and government. She's the author of an outstanding little tiny book that I'm holding in my hand. Actually, I could hold it in two little fingers, called Sales Skills for an Unfair Advantage, 104 Sales Tips for People in a Hurry. You could put it in your shirt pocket, but it's full of good stuff. And she's also a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, and she's our friend. Pat, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
It's good to have you here. It's always a pleasure. And, Pat, one of the things that I know you want to talk about today is something that you and I both have done a lot of in our lives, and that's making presentations, how to make a good presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that.
Well, it starts with a salesperson or anybody who's got to make a presentation to focus on the audience. You know what I mean?
Now, you know, when you say presentation, you're talking about we've been invited to make a presentation. This is not you're not talking about a sales call. You're talking about
right.
a formal presentation, typically with some kind of audiovisual.
Right.
Okay.
It might be part of the sales process. You
right.
know, you might have on the first call uncovered the fact that somebody really does need what you have
right.
to solve a problem. And you've determined how to best match what you've got to what they need. So now you're going to make a presentation, that kind of presentation.
One thing for sure, there are people who are expecting you to come in there and give them some information.
Right.
That they can do something with.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
That kind. So hopefully if you've been doing what you want to be doing during the initial part of finding out who the customer is, then that's going to help you more easily focus on the customer
right.
a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, you know, just telling your story the way you want to tell it. You want to tell it the way it's going to be better received by the customer.
So you've qualified the customer.
Yeah, we're hoping that.
we're hoping that you qualified the customer. You know what makes them tick. You know where they need help, and you've adjusted, you've modified a presentation that maybe you gave last week to another company that has different needs, different requirements. You've modified that product and that service and that presentation to meet this new customer's requirements.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Now what?
Well, let's see. You know, you have to determine based on what the customer's preferences are. Like you just mentioned, you might be bringing in some audiovisual. You want to determine what audiovisual is right for the size of the group and for the type of people that are in the group, because not everybody, for example, is crazy about a video presentation.
Mm-hmm.
But some people might be. And
mm-hmm.
you need to uncover those things just by paying attention to how your customer is communicating with you, like in the initial or the second or third call, depending on how far down in the sales process you make the presentation.
Right. One of the things that I like to know is I like to know for sure how many people are going to be there, don't you?
Right.
You think that's important?
Yeah, well, because one of the things you likely want to have, if you've got it, if your product is appropriate to it, is some
mm-hmm.
kind of materials that you're going to hand out to people. So
mm-hmm.
if you know how many people, for one thing, it helps you determine how many materials or samples to bring.
Or brochures or whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
It's okay, as you're setting up this presentation, you know, you need to be asking questions. You need, and the customer needs to feel what the way you feel, and that's that it's a kind of a big deal. And it's okay to say how many people will be sitting in, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, make sure you ask that question.
Right, and that also helps you, you know, understand how they make decisions, because if you think you're meeting with the decision maker, but now he's bringing in some other people, most likely they're influencers in how he or she decides whether or not your product is suitable for what they want.
And let me tell you another little trick. If somebody, if you're giving a presentation and you've already asked them and they say they're going to be five,
mm-hmm.
take eight.
Take eight, yes.
You know? Haven't you seen that? I mean, 9 times out of 10, there'll be an extra 2 or 3 people at the meeting, at the
oh,
presentation.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
people love to bring extra people in.
Right. Do you want to know how big the room is and where the room is that you're going to be making the presentation to?
Well, yeah, besides knowing it, if you can, depending on how much of a presentation you're giving, then go and see what the room is like.
Yeah, I like that.
I can remember I presented to, where I live, the power company a few years ago. I did a lot of work with our power company here,
mm-hmm.
and there were about 50 managers that I had to make the presentation to. After the first one agreed that what I had in the way I went about sales training was the way that was going to be best suited for them. So I went up to their offices to check out the layout of the room. And I'm glad I did because it was really spread out. So if you're making a presentation to a lot of people and you know that they have the possibility of sitting, you know, anywhere in the room, you kind of want to stage it so you get everyone, well, the way I prefer it is that everyone is up close.
Yeah.
You know, not all scattered about. So, yeah, once you know the size of the room and the layout of the room, go and check it out.
You know, whenever I do a speech or uh-huh. or any kind of training, if I'm not in charge of the room, now if I'm doing training and the client has asked me, you know, has told me to make arrangements for the building and all that,
mm-hmm.
and obviously I take care of everything, but if I'm not in charge of that, if I'm traveling to their town and they're responsible for picking for arranging everything, if I'm the only reason those people are coming there, I ask that the tables be set up in a certain way.
Yep.
But if I'm not, if there are other things going on, you don't have that luxury, but or the ability to determine that.
Mm-hmm.
But I always like to go early enough so I can go in the room and I can make sure that if I need anything else, there's plenty of time to have that. Like if I need the seating to be changed or if I need, you know, whatever it might be.
Right.
Make sure you prepare for that, right?
Be prepared.
That's a good point. Like a good scout, right?
Right.
Pat, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Pat's got a lot more good stuff for us on salesmanship and being prepared to make a good presentation when we come back after these messages. Stay with us, please. All right, we're back. 24 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, a Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking with Pat Weber, the author of Sales Skills for an Unfair Advantage, 104 Sales Tips for People in a Hurry. Pat, tell us where we can get your book.
You can get it at my website, prostrategies.com. You can call me directly at 1-877-2-SPEAK-4-U. You can go to Barnes & Noble and request it, because usually it's only the Barnes & Noble in my hometown that has it in stock.
Mm-hmm. What about online?
Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. I think Borders, are they online?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what my publisher told me.
Okay.
So
good.
Lots of options for that.
Outstanding. And folks, it's a tiny little book that you can put in your shirt pocket or inside your purse, ladies, and it's a good little book to take with you during your sales day and to read through. There's some little tips in here. There's some little things, just little reminders that will help you. And if you mark some of the ones that you like, you can just go to them quickly. It's a very, very handy, very useful little book, and I recommend it to you, Sales Skills for an Unfair Advantage. Pat, we're talking about making sure you give a good presentation, and the last thing we said was to make sure that you check the room out if you can. And, you know, the reason I think it's important to talk about this is there are people out there, Pat, who have not had the benefit that you and I have had. I was trained by three of the greatest sales organizations in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The Army, believe it or not, is a great sales organization.
Yep.
They
sure.
taught me some great sales skills, especially speaking and presentation skills. Also Sears and Xerox. I know you had a good bit of background, too, with some major corporations.
Yeah, IBM and Burroughs Corporation and Computerland. So
there are a lot of people out there who did not have the benefit of working for those companies, but now they're making these presentations, and they don't realize that it's okay when you're about to make a presentation to a customer to say, "Could I see the room?"
Right. Yeah.
They don't realize it. They think that that might be something wrong.
Right.
It's okay to say that. Could I see the room, please?
Right.
How many people are coming?
Exactly.
What time, obviously you'd know what time it is.
Okay.
But maybe pay attention to what is that timing? How's that timing involved in the company? If I don't know. The timing may have something to do with it, but
right. You want to know what's going on beforehand and
exactly.
what's going on afterwards. I mean, if they're coming in to you in the end of the day, you've got to know that people's attention spans are a little bit shorter at the end of the day. So you want to have shorter segments in your presentation.
If and I'll tell you another thing, and this is in the area of strategy.
Right.
If you're selling a technological product. And you need the engineer, the chief engineer, to be there. Maybe that person's not making the decision, mm-hmm. but that person is going to influence the decision. Don't have the presentation on his or her off day.
Right.
You know, you need to do that kind of background, don't you? That
exactly.
kind of homework.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Now, what are some other things in a presentation that we need to pay attention to?
Well, I know a lot of people ask me about handling their anxiousness or anxiety or nervousness because they're in front of a group.
Right.
Do you get asked about that?
Yeah, a lot of times.
You know, I know it's probably.
You know,
like
Pat,
it's not a specific tip.
Excuse me, Pat. You know that is the number one phobia in the
oh,
world.
Oh yeah.
More than arachnophobia,
right.
more than the fear of flying, more
right.
than snakes, more than all the things. The fear of speaking in public is the number one fear of everyone.
And really the best advice that I was ever given that I give to other people is to be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, not necessarily memorize your presentation, but practice it a few times and have the confidence in your own company and your product or your service so that when you're practicing it, that confidence is built up. And then by the time you're in front of people, you've already practiced it a few times, and that's kind of the simplest tip. And a lot of people that hear that say, but I don't like to memorize it. And I'm not saying memorize it. I'm just saying practice it.
Well, let me tell you another little tip, Pat, that
uh-huh.
will help. Write the presentation yourself.
Yes.
Don't present somebody else's presentation. Because
right.
if you wrote it, if you prepared it, you have memorized it.
Exactly.
It came out of your head.
Right, exactly.
Stand
that
by, Pat.
Kind of preparation.
We've got some more stuff along these lines. We're going to talk about folks on making presentation, making a good sales call. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Pat Weber is our very good friend and our special guest. We're going to be right back. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. We've got one of the experts with us, folks. If you'd like to ask a question, give us a call. We're back. It's 33 after. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and our special guest is our good friend Pat Weber, the author of Sales Skills for an Unfair Advantage, 104 Sales Tips for People in a Hurry. Folks, this is a beautiful little blue book with a yellow binding, with the yellow spine, and with white letters on the front. And I'm trying to remember, Pat, does it have your picture in here anywhere?
Oh, yeah. In
okay, there it is on page 107, her lovely picture. I want to make sure, I always like to make sure that the authors get their picture in their book. And I think you ought to put it on the cover next time.
Yeah, I know. The next book.
Right on the front.
Right on the front.
Where we can see it.
Yeah.
Folks, check this book out. You'll like it. It's one of the neatest books that you'll ever own. Sales Tips for an Unfair Advantage. Pat, we're talking about making a good sales presentation,
mm-hmm.
and I'm enjoying our conversation. And folks, if you'd like to join us, if you have a question or a comment you'd like to make, just a small point. If there's something that's not going quite right in your presentations, you're concerned about it. You don't know. You want to know if you can do something or if you're doing something wrong. 888-822-8255. Pat, on this presentation, I was just saying that you were asking me about people asking about being nervous
right.
and all that. You know, if you're not a little bit nervous, I'd be worried about that.
Oh, yeah. You need a little bit of that touch of nerve.
I've made thousands of sales calls, and I've made hundreds of speeches and presentations
uh-huh.
all around the world. And every time I get ready to make one, even if I've written every word and I know everything there is to know about what I'm about to speak about, I still get a little bit nervous,
sure.
and that's good. I think that makes you do a better job, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
For
yeah.
one thing, it demonstrates that you really actually care about what you're doing.
Yeah, that's the truth. But just being a little bit nervous kind of is the way some people funnel their enthusiasm. I mean,
yeah.
you want to have a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But not enough that you forget what you're going to say, which is the kind of nervousness I usually get asked about.
Well, you know what happens to me is I'm nervous just before I do it,
mm-hmm.
but the moment I start, it all goes away.
Yeah, once you get into the movement of things.
Get into the groove a little
yeah.
bit, and And I like to have a lot of energy in my presentations.
Yes.
I don't know how you do that. And it's different for everybody. I mean, it's my nature, it's my personality to be that way. Some people, it's not.
Right. But I think, I don't know, when I first started in the computer industry, I remember one of the real long-time, old-time salespeople, I was making a sales call with him, and it was a presentation that he was doing. And one of the things that he mentioned to me that I guess I didn't really observe it until the next time, he said, Pat, you always want to have one step ahead in enthusiasm than your customer does.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that you don't want to be too bubbly.
Right.
Because it might scare them away.
Right.
But you don't want to have any kind of enthusiasm, and you don't really even want to be, like if you've got a customer who's kind of non-responsive,
mm-hmm.
you don't want your presentation to be that way. You want to be one point ahead of him in the way you come across with your excitement about your product.
Give them an opportunity to raise their level of energy,
yes,
a little bit.
Exactly.
But what he's saying, and I think that's an excellent point, and I'm going to get you to say that again in just a minute. What you've got to, what I think he's saying to you is, they will go up with you incrementally,
right,
one step at a time, but they won't quantum leap a step.
Exactly. Right.
And I that's a good point. Say that again. Tell us again what he said.
I like the way you said it.
Oh no, but he said something about be one step ahead.
Only be one step ahead of your customer in enthusiasm. Don't be three steps ahead or too far back.
Right.
You that's just not the way to get somebody as excited about what you are excited about.
You know, I like to tell, whenever I'm making a speech or a presentation, and I'm not talking about a sales call necessarily as much as I am, you know, a formal presentation,
right,
where you've got an audience or a speech or something like that, I like to tell a few jokes. That's a good way to get your folks loosened up. And it's interesting how the same joke with one audience just does great.
Yes.
And the other one, and then you go to another audience, and it just falls flat.
That's right.
Well, now, if it falls flat, and you've already road tested this joke, and it's a good joke, then it's them, it's not you, right?
That's right.
And so, but you got to modify what you're doing to their taste.
Well, plus, you know, some people just don't laugh or smile like other people do.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this is a generalization, but in general, you're engineering or accounting or really left brain kind of people, or people who use their left brain more and they're kind of in that kind of position, they don't generally give you that kind of responsiveness of a whole hearty laugh.
Right.
But they might smile, and for them, that's a whole hearty laugh.
Well, and those guys probably appreciate the dry humor a little bit more.
That's true.
And I'll tell you, if you're not good at delivering jokes, if you're not good at humor, you be very careful, because you and I both have seen people try. Nothing's worse than somebody trying to deliver a joke or something funny, and they can't do it, and it really can be embarrassing.
Yeah,
but be careful. Be careful about the humor.
Yeah.
It can really be a great tool, but it can also be a little bit dangerous,
yes,
if you don't know what you're doing with it.
Yes.
Pat, we've got to take a quick break. It's 39 after. Folks, when we come back, what we're going to talk about is some more about making a good presentation. I've got some thoughts, some questions that I want to ask Pat, and I know she's got some more good stuff for us. We're going to get into maybe a little bit of audiovisual, how to use the audiovisual, how to actually handle all that material, when we come back in just a few minutes. 888-822-8255. Stay with us, please. It's been much too long, Pat Weber, since you were on the show. I'm glad you're back.
Yeah.
I'm Jim Blasingame, again, folks. Thanks for joining us. I'm sorry, what'd you say, Pat?
Just play more music like that. I'll come back.
Isn't that nice? Don't you like that?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oldies but goodies.
I remember that music. I don't know if you do. You're not old enough to remember it, but I do.
I'm old enough.
But we won't go into that. You heard it when you were in diapers,
that's right?
That's right. Sure.
Heard it through the womb.
888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Think I said that already. It's 45 after. Pat Weber is our special guest and our good friend. She is the author of Sales Skills for an Unfair Advantage. Pat, quickly tell us a little bit about what you do when you're not being an author and when you're not on this show.
I'm still trying to figure that out.
What you want to be when you grow up?
Right. Well, I work with companies that are interested in helping their salespeople improve sales and their people who serve the customer improve customer service. So I do that by way of workshops and speaking engagements. And on occasion, I will work with a manager or a person on staff and coach them in a particular area that they want to improve on.
Okay. And if someone wanted to call you or contact you, how would they do that?
They can call me toll-free at 1-877-2-SPEAK-4-U.
You got the numbers handy?
Oh, that convert that? Yeah, 1-877-277-3254.
Okay.
Or they can go to my website, prostrategies.com, and there's all kinds of ways there to contact me as well.
Okay, you've got an email button there, I'm sure.
Yep.
And, okay, good. Yeah, check her out, folks, if you need her. And I'm sure you'd be glad to talk to anyone if they just like to find out if you've got something that they could use.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Check them out. Check her out, folks. I think you'll like that. Let's get back into some making presentations, Pat. I really appreciate you sharing some of your insights with us on presentations. Let's talk about the audiovisual itself now. We've got some overheads. We've got a PowerPoint presentation.
Okay.
We've got handouts or whatever. How do you handle that?
I think that less is better, actually.
Okay.
Not to have too much going on, because
right.
It's either, particularly if you're nervous, then it looks too cumbersome with, you know, handling overheads or
right.
slides or presentation from
unless
the computer.
Unless it's necessary,
yeah.
condense the overheads as much as possible.
Right.
Yeah.
And you want to, it's also dependent on the size of your group.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to use a lot of slides where you have to dim the room if you've only got five people in there.
Right, right.
If you know, a video would be okay on a small screen for a small group.
You know, one thing I like to do in some settings is put an overhead up, and it makes maybe the overhead makes one point.
Mm-hmm.
And they see that point, and it drives it home to the end of their brain, and then you talk about that point for a minute.
Right.
Instead of putting up all the language that you're going to talk about, just put up the header. And since I wrote the material, when I see that, I don't even have to have a note. That is my note.
Right, exactly. That's a good way to give a presentation.
Mm-hmm.
People don't like to be, you know, reading all of your words as you're saying them.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I refuse
people
to read.
Do.
I refuse to read to people.
That's when you get the comment back on, you know, please don't read to me. I know how to
yeah.
read.
Speaking of reading now, when you're making a presentation, and you've got a proposal there for them, and you're basically working out of the proposal. You're taking things from the proposal and putting it up on the screen, and that's okay. What do you give the people in the audience a copy of that while you're making the presentation?
I do, because there's like only three ways you can do it. Four. You could not give them anything at all, but you either give it to them in the beginning, or you give it to them as you go, or you give it to them when they leave.
Right.
I just like for people, because I don't know how they're really taking information, if there's a bigger group than what I might have originally talked with, and now I'm presenting to 50.
Right.
I want them to go through it as we're going through it. So I might give it to them up front, but ask them to please, as we get to this part, I'll let you know which page to turn to.
Good. Now, see, that's important. If you're going to give it to them, you've got to tell them that, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
You got it. Well, you don't tell them, you ask them.
Yeah, right.
Please stay with me now, and I'll ask you, if you will, just give me this one courtesy, and that is to stay with me while we go through. Try not to go ahead. And I've said that, and it's okay to say that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Because if you don't, there are a few problems with giving them the proposal or your package before you give your presentation, and that is that if there are any numbers, mm-hmm. the decision makers are going to go
That's
immediately to
for.
The back page.
Right.
He's going to immediately go to the back page.
Right.
So that's
a lot of times I'll put the fee in the front. Let's get that over with. This is
yeah.
what you wanted to know, but then, you know, that you can get that over with.
Another thought, though, Pat, and I've done this too, and you probably have too, is don't give them anything.
Absolutely.
Except maybe a little brochure, a little something that you're working on, if there's a product or something. but don't give them anything, or maybe hand them a couple of little things to look at, a few things out of the proposal.
That's what I do.
And don't give them anything. Make them look at you while you're talking, because one thing about it, if you give them that proposal, they're going to be looking down at that instead of listening to you.
Right.
But now, I've done it both ways, and I know you have too.
Yep.
But there are rules to doing it both ways, isn't there?
Yes.
There's the music, folks. We've got to take a quick break. It's 50 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Pat Weber and I will be right back. We're going to wrap up the hour as we complete our discussion on making good presentations. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 54 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Pat Weber. Patricia Weber, the author of Sales Skills for an Unfair Advantage, 104 Sales Tips for People in a Hurry, is our special guest. She's our good friend and a member of our Brain Trust. And folks, if you'd like to find out more about her, if you're on my website, go to the Brain Trust section, and she's there, including a link to her website, which is prostrategies.com. I recommend you check that out. And if you need anyone to help you with training or with customer service or sales training or coaching, Pat will be glad to help you, and a lot of other good stuff. Pat, let's wrap up the hour by finishing up on presentations. Let's talk for just a minute or so about what how you're supposed to act when you're making the presentation. When how do you like it when you're hearing a presentation and the person stands up behind the podium the whole time and does push-ups on the podium? That's what we used to call it in the Army. You know, you've seen the guy, haven't you, where he rocks back and forth with his hands on the podium?
Now they're gripped to it.
Boring.
On to it. That's a really, you know, that's a hard one when I'm listening to someone, because I really want to get up there and smack them around and say, get yourself out from behind there. Let me see you.
Yeah.
Let me get in touch with who you are. I know that podium. It's just a piece of wood put together.
Well said.
So that's a tough one for people.
What do you do?
What?
What do you do?
Oh, I move. I am a mover.
Mm-hmm.
But I've learned not to be, you know, like a tennis game. People don't like that.
Right.
But I have learned that people, or that when you're up there, if you're moving, if you're using your hands, making gestures, and using your face and eye contact with people, that really gets you in touch with your message, and if you had any fear at all, it kind of minimizes your anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, when you're using eye contact and you're moving around, you're getting to see different people in the group, in the audience, and how they react, and you pay attention to them, and they give you a cue as to, you know, maybe they're a little confused, so you need to clarify something for them.
And if it's a presentation, if it's a speech or some training, make sure that you say their name and get them to buy into it. Ask a question and get them to contribute to what you're doing a little bit. If it's a sales presentation, you got to be careful not to be too glib, because they may tell you something you weren't expecting. But try to get those people involved as much as you can. As you said, make eye contact and move out into the crowd if there's any way possible.
And like you said, ask questions and use their name when you ask a question.
Yeah.
Any kind of presentation that works.
And if you know, and when you're one of the ways to use their name is when you're about to make the sales presentation, you know, you tell them how you qualified them. Now recently, John, you and I talked, and you told me that your company needed this and this and this.
Right.
And then you asked me to go and talk to Susan, and Susan, if you remember so and so, and they're nodding their heads.
Yes.
That's your first yes, I'll buy.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
That's right. Good sign, isn't it?
Yeah. Make them do that. You can do that. You can control that, can't you?
Yeah, and you can be ready for their questions, too.
Yeah.
You know, kind of guess what they might think, or ask other clients what questions they had when they were getting ready to buy your product or service.
And whether I'm doing a speech or a sales presentation, I always tell the audience, anytime you want to stop me, you can stop me.
Yeah.
You want to ask a question.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you know, you almost, that's a good point, because sometimes people aren't aware that, well, if that's your style, and I do like people to ask me questions
too,
as we're going along.
Yeah.
I'd rather do that than wait till the end. But
no
if your preference is to wait till the end, let people know.
Pat, that's going to be the last word. Thank you very much. You did a great job today.
Jim, thank you.
I've enjoyed it. We'll do it again real soon.
Yeah.
See you.
Bye.
Pat Weber, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. Steve Martin, folks, is our good friend. Steve Martin. Pat Weber, let me tell you a little bit about her. Pat is
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.